I can't wait for people who missed our previous conversation and start texting, "You idiot, it's not North Carolina Panthers. What's wrong with you guys?"
Well done, Chris.
Isn't this a sports show? Come on, guys.
Be
Do
fair,
your
we get
research.
That a lot. I said, to be fair, we get that. Is this a sports show a lot?
Yeah,
that's true. Very true. that's a regular occurrence from some of our newer members of the Lowdown audience. But we appreciate all of you, and we thank you so much for being here with us and making us a part of your Monday. We will do our best to make your holiday season not stressful. Do you get stressed around the holidays?
No, I don't really.
You don't get stressed over anything.
Not too much.
I have never seen you, like, flustered.
Yeah?
I haven't. Like, I'm
you
sure.
You heard me on the air.
I did?
Storm in the court, huh?
I was
beside myself.
You were. That is the audio clip of all time is Jason Ross's anger. I don't know that I could pull that up fast enough, but that's definitely here
they
it is.
They find ways to win.
High flyer.
Just solid.
Yeah, you had the Hawks in overtime win at 102-98.
Okay, get ready. This is level 10 Jason Ross anger here.
Eight. Ouch. As they defeated the Knicks. Sorry, I reacted to the buzzer beating three there by Oregon over UCLA. Anyway, Hornets 120. The Magic 101. That was a dagger, wasn't it?
Buckets.
Yeah, they're storming the court. All right. Wizards 111. The Pacers. I was ticked.
That is pissed off Jason Ross right there. We're good. I've been telling this to the people in charge of this radio station for the last 2 weeks. We couldn't be more perfect together because I fly off the handle so easily. And you are the coolest guy in the room in every
Get your
room.
Boy.
Yeah, like, you don't even have that. You're just...
Well, you don't get stressed out, do you, at the holidays?
Oh, at the holidays? Yeah, I get stressed out over everything else, but not the holidays. The holidays don't faze me, but I get stressed out over what we're going to do tomorrow at 1:30. Yeah. Hey, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? Yeah. Jason, I don't know what we're going to do. We got to create the sign. Jason knows the sign that I'm truly stressed out is when Jason, we just need to create magic, man. I know this show sounds magical daily.
Yes.
But a lot of work goes into this show. And there are just some days where, like, I don't know. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's Jason. We need to be magical and charming today. All right. We got it.
Yeah.
And those shows are always wonderful.
Yeah.
But I stress over it for hours. What are we going to do here? What are we going to
make magic?
Chris, what are we going to do here?
Then you get mad when I suggest me telling my Boy Meets World fan theories and you get frustrated. And
we all do.
I generally get annoyed with everything you do, just to be clear, just so it's not limited to your show suggestions. Is this show located in North Carolina?
It is.
They are forever the North Carolina Panthers now. That's absolutely true. That is 100% what we are calling them moving forward. That's on the text line.
Yeah.
44-11-40.
It's totally fair. That's who they are.
Maybe Sean Combs could get together with Vince McMahon and help bring back the XFL.
Is that real? I saw that story. Is that really happening?
It can't be.
Why?
When Vince McMahon, and I saw the story too. It was forwarded to me by a couple of people. When Vince McMahon started the XFL in the early 2000s, WWE had just gone I think they had just gone public. They were hot. I mean, they were, you know, coming off the hottest run in the company's history. They're not that anymore.
Really?
Like, so I don't know where, if you couldn't generate buzz from, like, wrestling fans, I don't know how you could do it. Because there's a certain level of, you need a certain level of wrestling fans to be there at the beginning.
Right.
You need to try to distance yourself from wrestling fans.
Which they didn't early enough, I think, in their model.
I've always said the biggest mistake the XFL made is that week one monster audience, when you turn to that XFL game, the very first person you saw was The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You saw The Rock cutting a promo. The second person you saw was Vince McMahon doing his Vince McMahon walk out to middle field, out to the 50-yard
line.
That immediately, I think, you sports fans stuck around out of curiosity.
Yep.
And once their curiosity ended, that was it.
Yeah. And I still maintain that at the end, the football wasn't half bad. It wasn't the NFL, but it wasn't that bad. It just people were done. They already passed that.
Yeah.
They had given up.
I honestly believe the XFL could have and should have been successful. I think it could have been successful if they stuck with it. And they didn't. And they had a number of things go awry along the way. But I think it could have been successful.
Yeah.
Plus, they had one of the great play-by-play guys of all time in one, Jason H.W. Ross, calling for the San Francisco Demons.
Yeah, know your XFL teams.
San Francisco, the Las Vegas Outlaws.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Extreme.
All right. Memphis?
Oh, I don't know.
Maniacs.
The Memphis Maniacs, yeah. Brother.
Yeah.
The only one I remember is the New Jersey Hitmen.
Hitmen. Yeah. Yep. The New Jersey Hitmen.
Yeah. Did Chicago have a team?
Yep. I did a game at Soldier Field.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Chicago, what was Chicago?
Destroyers, maybe?
Okay.
I think I blanked on them.
All right.
Yeah. That was fun. It was a fun league, but one and done.
Enforcers, the Chicago Enforcers.
Oh, Enforcers.
Chicago, there it is. All right. Well, I don't want Diddy partnering with anyone. I just want him to bring us gems like the North Carolina Panthers.
Yeah,
because that's my new, that is my new favorite thing. The North of America Raptors.
We are the North.
They beat the Sacramento Kings yesterday. You may have missed it. Game started at 12:30 because it's a rule that games against the Toronto Raptors have to start at 12:30. Kings had a great first half, so if you watched the great first half, or if you watched the first half, you probably walked away pretty happy. If you watched the second half, you probably walked away, as you do from most Kings games, like, damn, we can't make a basket to save our lives.
Were you okay, I guess is kind of open-ended here, with the term of why Z-Bo was out? Rest.
I'm not.
You don't care?
Mm-mm. Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
I think it just sounds
funny. I know you hate it.
Yeah, as a one guy resting, that's not a problem. But I don't know. What did they played Wednesday? Thursday? Whatever. Remember they were in Minnesota for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Thursday. Said Friday, Saturday, played midday Sunday. Seemed like they had enough rest, but that's fine. But I know it maybe didn't. I thought, oh, okay, he's out, so they're starting Scal for sure. Maybe Papagiannis will play a lot more. They played just a little bit.
You know, if you were a team play the young guys. I'm hashtag team play the young guys. You're not happy today.
One year day.
No, you were definitely not pleased with what you saw on Sunday afternoon. We'll see what you get tomorrow when the Sacramento Kings take on the Philadelphia 76ers. Game starts here, 4:00. Jay Ross back with Kings Live at 3:30. There are some positives to take away. I know I mentioned it's great that Garrett Temple was able to get out of that slump.
He needed that.
Can I just address something really, really quickly?
Yeah.
I told you it would come. It came. It actually did. I thought the fact that I pointed it out, maybe it wouldn't. It's embarrassing that the update guy can't get anything right. It's a sports show, and he continues to mispronounce names of players, and he just doesn't know his sports. I responded with a lengthy ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
He doesn't know why that's so funny.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets the North Carolina Panthers joke.
I think he's right, though.
Well, and then there's that. Hey, we don't claim to know sports. Who said we know? Who the hell said we know what we're talking about?
That gets in the way of a lot of things.
There are so many people listening now, like, damn right. Oh, you know what else I wanted to? God, now my brain is all over the place, Jason. There are a couple of positives to take away from the Kings. We mentioned Garrett Temple, how it was good for him to get out of that shooting slump. Hopefully that can continue forward. He can get a little momentum there with a shot. But the way Bogdan Bogdanović played yesterday was really impressive as well.
Yeah, he's in a nice groove. I mean, as far as the young guys go, and he's one of them, but what's interesting is the guys that I think are playing the best of the youngest players or rookies, Bogdanović would be one. Well, he's played professional basketball before. Frank Mason seems really comfortable out there. He looks like a guy who played quite a bit of college basketball, and he did. And even Buddy, I know it's just year two, but I feel like all those guys are more than comfortable, and they've also played the most basketball. So there's something to be said for that as far as the people that are looking at a guy like De'Aaron Fox or Scal or some of these guys that haven't played as much that you're waiting to see. When is it going to happen? When are we going to know? When have they developed it? Some guys do it quicker. I mean, sometimes it just happens fast, and guys come in and thrive. These guys haven't done that, per se, and it's just we have to kind of wait.
But I see, where's Jakar?
Yeah, he's back in the G League.
Why?
Because he has a limited number of games in Sacramento. He could have been up, but so if he was up, then you're sending, I don't know.
Jorgis Papagiannis.
But are you trying trying to develop him or not? Is he not going to be anything for your roster?
Are you asking me personally? No. Give me Jakarr Sampson back up here.
Well, then they have to change kind of their roster designation, which they could. They could do that. Mike James on Phoenix got a two-way contract, then he has a full-time contract.
I'm just going back to the line you used about developing. How do you know? And you like what you see from Bogdan Bogdanovic, mm-hmm. and as well as you should. But we also see more from Bogdan Bogdanovic than we do anybody else.
Right.
Like, are you happy with the way Frank Mason has played when he's been in the game?
Yeah.
Okay. De'Aaron Fox didn't play yesterday. Why the hell did Frank Mason only play 14 minutes?
Right.
This is like I'm not team vets. I'm not team rookie. I'm not that, or team young guys, whatever it is. But I can understand the frustration when you see a guy like Frank Mason play so well in the minutes that he's given, and then you look a game later, or two games later, or three games later, and he's barely playing. Or you look at, you know, that was the thing with Justin Jackson. Like, oh, Justin Jackson, Scalabrice, yeah, those guys were playing really well. Then their minutes went down. Oh, they weren't playing so well. Oh, where? What? They're in Reno. Oh, okay. It just seems to disintegrate quickly. Or there's no rhyme or reason to it. Or we just don't know what the hell the rhyme and reason is.
Yeah.
Is fine. Maybe it's none of our business. Yeah. It's just I can understand the frustration with fans who want to see certain guys play that don't get to play.
And it's like we've said before, I just hope they know. Like, we don't technically have to know, hey, is this a night that Mason's going to play 25 minutes? I don't know. But does he know? I hope he knows. I hope, you know, and in the game yesterday, we mentioned it earlier, I would say it's the third straight game that George Hill has played well. So I think Coach rode with him a little bit longer than he normally has, because George Hill's normally in the 18 to 24-minute range. And what did he play yesterday? 33 minutes? So he kind of rode with a veteran in that case. But, yeah, it doesn't seem to be – I think they all kind of get in. It's just not always extremely consistent with the minute distribution.
As we said, they lost yesterday 108-93. Anything else you want to touch on regarding the Sacramento Kings and that Matt Nay performance?
Not just from that, but from the next one. I'm torn because I'm excited that Embiid is sitting out tonight. That means he's playing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But part of me also says it'd be easier to beat them without him. But I'd rather see Embiid play. I like Embiid.
Yeah.
He's not playing tonight against the Bulls, so he'll play against the Kings.
And I don't think it's easier for the Kings to beat anybody.
True.
Without, I mean,
they can't look at it that way.
No, they can't.
Play not, well, they can win. If you don't, you're not going to win in Philly.
Simple as that.
Yep.
Simple as that. And that game's tomorrow at 4 o'clock with Kings Live at 3:30. We'll get you ready all for that game tomorrow. Raider fans have been really frustrated all day. Totally understandable. Lots of texts coming in here at 44-1140. Just taking a quick – it's amazing how many people actually want the XFL back and have XFL ideas. That's
– yes.
That's fantastic. Maybe the Raiders should be regulated to the XFL.
Watch it.
We had a long venting session with Raider fans today, and it's just such a fitting way for the season to end for them with I don't fault Derek Carr. You can be mad at the rule. And if you're mad at the rule,
I am.
Rightfully so. It's a strange, strange rule that has seemed to come. I feel like when these things happen with these weird rules, they come in like bunches. Like, you'd never heard of this rule before. I don't remember what game it was, but didn't somebody like bat the ball out of the end zone?
Seattle did that.
And like, did they miss it? Didn't they miss that call? I think they missed it on that. I feel like maybe it was Seattle and Green Bay, or it was some high profile game. Seattle batted the ball out of bounds and they actually missed the call. And we're like, well, no, they got that wrong. That should have been a touchback or something along those lines. But it feels like when these rules become apparent, suddenly you can't stop seeing them.
Right.
And this is like the fourth time we've seen this happen this year. And Derek Carr, much like Jesse James in the Steelers-Patriots game, much like Dez Bryant against the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs a couple of years ago. No, I'm not still bitter about it. They're trying to make a play to win the game. And in this event, it cost them.
Yeah, it's tough to fault the player on that. I mean, obviously, if he held on to it, goes out of bounds, you feel good about their chances to at least tie, if not win. I just think, you know, the way football is ruled, the way the referees do this, we treat the goal line differently. I mean, that's the plane. You cross the pylon. It's a, you know, he could have done the exact same thing he did, flying through the air, crossed the goal line, just for a fraction. The nose of the football, still in his hand, touchdown, then loses the ball. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
But because he lost it before the goal line and because it went out of the side of the end zone, it changes possessions. That, to me, is just – and I don't even know what the difference is. Like, you can't advance a fumble. So would you say Raiders ball at the two? Would you say – I've heard some say what have they called it? Like a reverse touchback, give the Raiders the ball back at their own 20 instead of – but why? We don't rule – I fumble at the 8-yard line, my own 8-yard line. It goes out of bounds. It's not your ball. It's still my ball. You were sloppy with the football, and but it's not your possession. So it's just strange. Strange rule, but it is a rule.
Think about that for a second, too, with the two late games from last night, the two high-profile moments that have dominated sports talk and sports media today. And think about what you just said. Derek Carr has the ball in his hands, and he dives for the end zone. If he can hold on to it for another yard and a half, he breaks the pylon, drops the ball. The result is a touchdown. He's a runner. He doesn't have to survive the ground diving across the pylon. Meanwhile, you have a receiver who catches the ball, makes a football move as he goes towards the ground, stretching the ball to the end zone. I still believe, even though the ball moved, his hand was underneath it, and he caught it. It was a touchdown. But because he's a receiver going to the ground as opposed to a runner going to the ground, it's not a touchdown,
right?
And it results in a series of strange calls by the Pittsburgh Steelers that result in them ultimately losing the game.
Yeah.
Throwing an interception that Pete Carroll would be very, very proud of.
Would, if Jesse James play, he's stretching forward for the goal line. That's what we all see. Imagine if he was turned, like his back is to the ground, and he's has the football exposed to the air, and he shoveled it back in midair. So he hasn't survived the ground. So I pitch it to you before I hit the ground. What's the completion of the ground? You catching it on your feet? Like, is Jesse James now done? Does that make sense? Yeah, almost like a lateral.
It's like a deflected pass.
Okay.
It's like a deflected. It's like a it's like a deflected ball.
But in this case, like even like at first when he's when I saw the replay a couple times, like no, his knee's down. Yeah. Okay. We're looking at the ball. Yeah, I see it move. But like in that case, if his knee was down, he hasn't been touched, and he turns and just like an option, just shovels it to someone else. I don't know. There's just to me, I think they tried too hard to get to the letter of the law of the rule that bothers a lot of people, and what is a catch.
And that's because we don't know.
And I don't know what the common sense would be, because I want to say common sense, that looks like he caught the ball. But that's also too vague. Like, what should the rule be?
But remember,
because I have a problem with it, but I don't have an answer.
Remember when a completion meant a football move?
Okay.
Remember you had to, like, take two steps and make a football move?
Yeah.
Now there's, like, so much more to it. Like, now you hear people, to score a touchdown by catching the ball, you have to catch it, control it, make a football move, wait for the referee to signal, and then celebrate. And only then is it actually a touchdown.
Yeah, and I don't know why the surviving the ground is so important to the completion of the catch, because same question you're saying is
well,
two steps.
Well, that's awfully insensitive to ground survivors everywhere, Jason.
You throw over the middle, take one, two, maybe giant strides, but you're still kind of gathering the ball. Boom, you get hit. Where's the surviving the ground? The ball's jarred loose. They probably call that incomplete. Never had a chance to survive the ground. In this case, I just feel like the ground can't cause a fumble, but yet it can interrupt a catch. Just very strange. Very strange play. And in the end, Pittsburgh, I still think, butchered their next play after that, but it just gave
the
a sour.
The slant or the
I'm sorry, the fake spike. The fake spike. Two plays later.
It's Ground Survivor Awareness Month also here.
But how would we rewrite that? What would we change that to? Because I don't think anybody's really happy with it. Common sense. Everybody who's watching the game looks at that and goes, looks like a catch.
I feel like you're saying common sense isn't common anymore. Because well, if
we look at it differently. Did he make a football move? Did he finish the – we're all now looking for that.
Is there a such thing in NFL and NBA officiating, particularly at the end of games, as judgment calls anymore? Because how can you...
I think that's what they're trying to do is eliminate that.
How can you not see that play, the Jesse James play? How can you not see the Dez Bryant play? or the original yeah. original Calvin Johnson
right.
play. Those are touchdowns. If you go back to the original Calvin Johnson play, if I remember, he caught it and he like put it on the ground as a way to like stand up
mm-hmm.
and let go of it on his way up.
Right.
And that was, the ground jarred the ball loose. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That was a thing? And that's how Detroit lost that game. And ever since then, I feel like ever since then, we've been scratching our heads as to what a catch is.
Yeah.
What a completed pass is. We have no idea. And now there's a new term. Surviving the ground is new. We've never heard this before, and now it's a thing. Now we're going to hear it for the next 5 years. Because we can't define, or more importantly, they can't define what the hell a catch is in the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
And it rears its head every single year, and more likely than not, it rears its head in these big, big moments.
Sure does.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating for football fans.
And I don't know what the alternative is, honestly, of how to rewrite it, how to make it clear, how to make it people be comfortable with what they've decided. Because we can come up with a lot of examples that feel like you could test that rule and – I don't know. It's almost like the guy said last night, Michaels and Collinsworth. You watch enough football, you feel like you know it all. Watching the procedure of marking the first down. I mean, literally, is it the last chain? Is it the bar? I've never seen the index card. Should they have gotten down on all fours and looked at the angle? It still looked like there was a gap, even with the piece of paper there. It was just really strange. And when this game is measured on inches, on millimeters, could we have a better system when these are for, you know, high profile millions of dollars in this league, and we have two people that are holding a chain on the side?
Text here at 44-11-40, top one. Why change it? They all know going to the ground, you got to hold it. It's clear. You guys are trying to make it more difficult. No, actually, we're not, because I don't think that ball – I understand that the ball moved yesterday in the Steelers-Patriots game, but I still think he caught it.
He caught it first, hit his knee, dove forward to make the rest of the football, to try to score the touchdown.
There was a play, and now I can't remember who. Was it Kareem Hunt who caught a ball that looked like it, like had the nose of the ball was on the ground, but he caught it.
Right.
They made the decision, the referees made the decision, that that was a touchdown. The ball hit the ground, like, not, it didn't skip up.
Right.
But he didn't, the explanation is, I guess, the ground didn't help him catch the ball.
Right.
I feel like it's
Didn't they overturn that, though? That was the one that was overturned, I thought.
Oh, was it?
I thought
they counted that as a touchdown.
But you're right. And I think even in the Raider game yesterday, it was the Raider game when Carr had the ball slightly hit out of his hands, and it ends up fluttering up there, and Seth Roberts makes this pretty nice catch, and he's rolling over himself, and it looks like the nose of the football may have touched the grass, but you also looks like his hand is underneath. But in those kind of situations, I don't feel the ground is helping them make the catch. I think they already have two hands on the football,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I felt like happened with Jesse James.
And if breaking the plane is a touchdown, then breaking the plane is a touchdown.
Right.
If I'm wrong on the Kareem Hunt, there's no better researchers than Tex Nation. Let me know. I feel like that was ruled a touchdown, but given the investment that you had in Kareem Hunt this weekend, I feel like you might be more accurate. Yeah. 44-11-40. We'll come back. There's still more football to talk about. There's football tonight. There's massive playoff implications in tonight's football game. And it's a big night in Los Angeles. By the way, LeBron James, man.
He's good.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Don't tell that to Keith.
We got more coming up on the lowdown. So that Kareem Hunt touchdown that we were talking about a moment ago was overturned. But again, in that case, it looked like a catch to me.
I agree.
I don't think the ground helped him catch the ball.
And I think 100% agree.
I think that's what we're talking about when we're talking about common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it and you can judge. Did the ground help him catch the ball? No way. Did it? Yeah, he kind of trapped it. There's the trap. Like he trapped it. That's not a touchdown.
Hands aren't completely under it. Like he, it looks like he needed that to complete the catch. Yeah.
Text line. And thank you for that on the text line at 44-11-40. A couple of more here, Jason. If the ground can't cause a fumble, then why can't it result in an incomplete pass? Yeah. I don't, that's the question. Right?
And in this one specifically, I'm trying to merge two rules, but it feels like if the plane, we're so trained to the goal line, right? The people like Carr trying to dive for the pylon, other quarterbacks that have done it, a guy that just gets the nose of the football, doesn't matter, touchdown. He could fumble, touchdown, you had it, touchdown. Why it's different than in the receivers. And that's harder to, to understand.
I do not know. One more text here. Maybe when Roger gets a decent wage, he'll figure out what a catch is. That's true, man. When you're underpaid.
Pay him more, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, when you're underpaid like Roger Goodell is, you don't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
You just don't want to work that hard.
He's supposed to feed his family.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, how's he going to get around?
Right.
$40 million.
Only got one jet.
It doesn't get, $40 million doesn't buy what he used to.
Yeah, I mean, after taxes, it's, not as much.
It's really not.
Yeah.
It's really not. And, I can tell you, I'm more than certain I know how Jerry Jones feels about that.
I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm very sad.
Jerry.
I tell you what Jerry's not sad about is Ezekiel Elliott is back at the Star today in Dallas. He is officially a member of the Dallas Cowboys again.
He was working out, running sand hills on his own personal football field they had designed for him.
So you're saying this with, the most sarcasm I think I've ever heard you use before.
I don't know what all that means. I mean, good for him,
I guess.
He's
training. It's not like he can sit around and golf. I don't know. He's got
to
work out.
Why do you have to go there to do it?
Well, it's Cabo.
Yeah?
Well, why not?
So all he did was work out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you insinuating that maybe he went to the same place that old Tony and Jessica and Jason went?
Oh, yeah.
Before the playoff game.
It's true.
How'd that work out?
Why don't you shut up? Cowboys need a lot to go right, and it starts tonight for them to get into the playoffs. Obviously, they beat the Raiders. That's kind of the other side of the conversation here with the Derek Carr, fumble through the end zone, the Cowboys stealing a win in which neither team was good. I mean, the Cowboys were up 10-0 at one point. They did not play well. They did not play well.
It started promising when they're running. I'm like, the Raiders can't stop the run, and then they ditch that.
6 carries, 51 yards in the first 7 minutes for Alfred Morris of that game.
What did he finish with?
Then he finished with 16 carries and 61 yards. Mm. Why? Because they went away from him. For some reason, they went to Rod Smith after that.
Yeah.
And, he did fine. I don't understand the Dallas Cowboys. I never will. The fact is, as frustrated as you may be being a Raider fan and the way your season was lost yesterday and your playoff hopes were lost yesterday, neither one of those teams deserved to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You like the way that the Cowboys are playing. I'm a little more pessimistic than you are, but that's nothing new here for us on this show. But they
can't slip up, and they need help. So I don't know.
They got to win out, and I don't know. The Raiders aren't very good. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay, they can't play like that moving forward.
Right.
And beat Philadelphia, and is it Washington? I don't remember.
Yeah, I believe so.
Week 17.
And it's, if fair to say Zeke's their best player, most important player. So, I mean, that's a significant return, though.
Alfred Morris was averaging 5 yards a carry. Give him the freaking ball.
I think they'll do that, though, for sure. It'll just be ingrained in the game plan, at least.
They change this? I'm a broken record every week, and I apologize. I just don't understand. They lost their season when Ezekiel Elliott went out because they tried to deviate from their game plan during that 3-game stretch. They put all of the pressure on Dak Prescott, and it was unfair to him, and he failed miserably. And I don't put even a remote bit of blame on him.
Yeah.
I put it on the coaching staff.
Yeah, they couldn't score.
And whether it's Jerry or it's Jason Garrett or it's Scott Linehan, whoever it is, whoever decided to make the calls, whoever decided to put, and you could talk about, I know Drew Davidson said this last week when we were getting his perspective of the Cowboy Raider game this week. Oh, well, they were playing behind a lot in those games. Well, yeah, they were playing behind a lot because they couldn't control the clock.
Right.
But because they were 3 and out series after series after series. Just kept giving the ball back to offenses like Atlanta's and Philadelphia's. Yeah, they're going to get beat up when that happens.
Yep.
Especially against Philadelphia, with Carson, you got to control the clock.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And that's where their season was lost. And if they're able to get in, boy, it's going to have to start tonight with the Falcons and the Buccaneers. They're going to need the Buccaneers to beat the Falcons. Someone's got to fall out of that NFC South. Because right now, the South is running things. New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta are all sitting very, very pretty to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it could be all three of those with just the division winners and the other, you know, just the Rams and Eagles.
And Tampa can play spoiler.
Yeah.
Tampa
and Minnesota.
Pretty amazing, right? The Seahawks aren't looking good right now.
Not at all. They actually play the Cowboys this week. That was the other game.
The Seahawks and Cowboys play?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And then they finish with the Eagles.
I think that's
Cowboys.
In Dallas. Now that, yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah. I'm kind of remembering it. Oh, you mean where it says right freaking in front of me, Seahawks at Cowboys at 1 o'clock here on Sports 1140?
I think that's the one.
Man, I am so good at this job. It's really incredible how great I am at looking at that board with the games that we have all week. We have live sports action virtually every single day. Oh, look at Saturday games. How fun is that?
Yeah, we can only get one of them in this week, and the one we're getting in is a gem.
It is. Sell it. Sell it to me.
It's your Ravens.
It is not my Ravens. First of all, no.
Are they your Colts?
Nope.
Andrew Luck, anywhere?
Yeah. By the way, can we maybe just double back best and worst of the weekend?
Yeah.
So Andrew Luck is going to try to throw this week. And if it doesn't go well, he's going to have another surgery. Yo, man, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge problem right now. There's something going on with Andrew Luck that we don't know about. How is this, to the best of my knowledge, and we need to look this up, he had a, if not the exact same, but a very similar surgery to Cam Newton.
And the surgery was sooner, wasn't it, before
Cam's? His was before.
Yeah.
How's Cam doing?
Cam's doing fine.
How many?
He's playoff bound.
Doing the playoffs?
Possibly.
Yeah. And Andrew Luck?
Yeah, he will not be in the playoffs.
He was in Europe.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that where he was?
European vacation. Big Ben.
Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
Look, kids.
Yeah. Picking a poke.
Picking a poke. Well done, Jason. Yeah, not good. Where's that draft pick going to fall for the Colts? They've done it before. You going to get a little desperate? Climb up there in that draft? Get your next quarterback of the future?
Because
Andrew Luck's future flamed out because you wouldn't surround him with an offensive line or a defense or a running back or pretty much anything.
All
not
of the
named,
above.
Pretty much anything not named T.Y. Hilton.
Right.
Brutal. I read that this week and was like, whoa, what? This far in another surgery? Because now we're, what month is it? December? Isn't this about the time that he had it last year? And
yeah,
he didn't
roughly.
Come back.
Right.
He never, oh, and he's going to be ready for the start of the season?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Nope.
The big mystery.
LeBron James had his third straight triple-double against the Washington Wizards last night. 20 points, 15 assists, and 12 rebounds. Cavs beat the Wizards 106-99. They've won their 18th game out of the last 19.
And then now there's word that Isaiah's talking about January, so we're closing in on when he's going to join the team.
They're playing. I mean, what LeBron James is doing, again, broken record.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary. And you know I love triple-doubles, by the way. One other less lower publicized note, Bradley Beal is having a hell of a year for Washington.
Sure is.
The team hasn't been spectacular. He did a hell of a job with John Wall. I mean, this has got to be Bradley Beal's first All-Star nod this year. I don't think he'll get voted in by fans just because he's not that guy. But the coaches, I think, are going to put him in for the first time. He has had a phenomenal year. A really, really good start.
Yep.
We'll come back. It's a big night, actually, in basketball. It's a big night in Los Angeles. Jason, I ask you, what is your favorite Kobe Bryant? That's next on the Lowdown. Hey, Chris, man, you need to stay on me about giving away these tickets here for the Sacramento Kings. Chris comes in during the commercial break. Hey, you got to give away the tickets. I know, Chris.
He said,
thank
your,
you.
Get your boy.
I got to get your boy.
Said so that in several commercial breaks, to be fair.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate that. As I'm literally holding the paper in my hand that says, Sacramento Kings, pair of tickets, Phoenix Suns, December 29th. I'm holding it in my hand and forgetting to tell everybody that we have tickets to see your Sacramento Kings play the Phoenix Suns on December 29th. And we have those for you right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will get you set up with that, and we will have your opportunity to win all week long. Also, if you're an app user, don't worry. We'll have an opportunity for you to win later in the week. And last week proved to be a really, really big success for us with the app stuff. And we thank you all for participating in that. Most importantly, we thank you guys for downloading the app, man. This is a big deal for us. It's a KHDK app. There's no more. I mean, you can use TuneIn if you want to, but this is just a shortcut. Why cut out the middleman? No radio online anymore. No TuneIn. Just get the KHDK app. It is our app, and it has all of the shows on demand. Anything you missed. I got messages from people who were going back and listening to the fantasy football segment with Nate Lundy getting ready to set their fantasy rosters, which congratulations to Jason H.W. Ross, who will be competing for his second KHTK Fantasy Football Championship. It was set to be an all lowdown final. Unfortunately,
it's not done yet.
I got my butt kicked.
It's not over.
Unless Matt Ryan has the single greatest performance from a quarterback in the history of fantasy football, I am out of the finals. So congratulations to you and your steroid-infested roster.
Well, watch it.
With discipline problems and suspended players all
Name
over the place.
Name three on there.
Gronk, suspended.
Okay.
Josh Gordon, suspended.
Two.
Didn't Le'Veon Bell get suspended? Was that last year? He's a problem. I know you have at least one more suspended player on your roster.
They're good guys. They're good locker room guys.
They're leaders.
They're leaders.
As old Jerry Jones would say.
Yeah, I'm sad. This
is said about
I have
Greg
nobody
Hardy.
From my North Carolina Panthers, though.
Oh, North Carolina Panthers. Yes, indeed.
Okay, y'all. This is just in breaking news. The North Carolina Panthers. Okay? North Carolina Panthers.
That is a thing forever. They will only be referred to now as the North Carolina Panthers.
I mean, to be fair, at least he didn't say South Carolina Panthers.
That's very true. Yeah. That is 100% accurate. We are absolutely grading on a curve when it comes to Diddy. We are so much grading on a curve. It's a big night in Los Angeles. It's the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors.
Kobe.
Doug Christie's jersey.
Yes.
Will be retired tonight. No one will ever wear the number that Doug Christie wore in Los Angeles. 8.
Yeah.
No one's going to wear 24 either. How do you think they're going to do this? Do you think they're going to go 2 Kobe jerseys like side by side? Or is it like a slash where there's like a, is it an extra large plaque with the 8 and a 24 on it? Like, how do you think they do this tonight?
Yeah, the 8 could have Kobe. The 24 could have Bryant. I think they put it on one big banner. Not big banner, but
like
one
an
banner.
Like an 8 at the top and a 24 at
Something
the bottom.
Like that.
Because aren't they jerseys? Isn't that what's in the, like, isn't it an actual jersey that's in the frame?
Yeah, it used to be there. At least, yeah, I think that's how they do it. And wasn't he exactly even 10 years at number 8 and 10 years at 24?
Yes, and the statistics between the two numbers are pretty, they're pretty incredible.
Really?
They're damn near dead even.
Wow.
It's amazing. I don't know if it was Jalen Rose who's probably humiliated every time he has to talk about Kobe Bryant, but I think he said he had a Hall of Fame career in 2 different numbers. Like if you were number 8 and you wiped out everything he did in 24, he'd be a Hall of Famer. If he was a number 24 and you wiped out everything he did as an 8, he'd be in Hall of Famer.
It's true.
I know there are a lot of people listening here in Northern California that hate Kobe Bryant. I love the guy. Yeah. I think he's just spectacular. He is just an incredible scorer. He's in a weird spot, though. I loved Kobe. I repped Kobe during. By the way, there's a new puppet commercial. Did you see the new Nike commercial?
No.
Remember the LeBron?
They brought that back. Yeah.
Yeah, they brought it back, and it's it's great.
Okay.
They brought the LeBron. I never understood why they didn't voice him themselves.
Right.
First
they had
of all,
someone
like,
pretending to be them. Yeah.
But maybe they just wanted.
Is it him now?
No, it's the same guys.
Someone, okay.
It's the same 2 voices from before. But I thought it was cool that they brought that back. Obviously, Nike is going all out for the Kobe retirement tonight, the Kobe jersey retirement. But
good touch, too, I thought, by Kerr. And Kerr saying, yeah, we're going to have all our guys out there. We're going to watch
it. But he did it in the most Steve Kerr way. He's like, what am I going to do, like draw up a play? Like, right. Why sit in the locker room for 30 minutes? Like, let's go watch, be a part of it. Like, he's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about what, like, there are some people who don't put Kobe Bryant in the top 10 of all time. Are you one of those?
No, I put him in there. Yeah. It's hard too because the way I do it now, I don't know how you personally would judge Kobe Bryant versus Bill Russell. How on earth? I mean, different time, different position. So the way I'm doing it is from what I've seen. I didn't see Bill Russell play. I don't want to diminish him or Oscar Robertson I didn't see him play. So I don't feel like I can judge him well enough. So based on people that I've seen, yes, for sure, Kobe Bryant's a top 10. For sure.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I don't know that I'm kind of along your lines of thinking. I don't know that Kobe's not in my top 5 of all time.
Okay.
That's a little bit harder because then we start getting into, okay, who is it? LeBron is if LeBron's not number 1, he's number 2. So it's going to be hard, like, okay, now who are you taking out of that group?
Right.
But Kobe, a really polarizing player, obviously had that big farewell tour at the end of his career. That final year, which was absolutely spectacular and drew massive amounts of money all across the NBA. One of my favorite games ever was the Laker game at the Golden at the Arco Arena when it was Kobe's last game here. And I was actually really pissed off because the Lakers were down like 1,000, give or take.
And the young guys came back.
Came back. And Kobe never came back
right.
in. Like, Kobe wound up set. And I think everybody forgot. And it was the only game I can ever remember going to where no matter who scored the basket, the place erupted.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were so many Laker fans in there, and they were so loud. And as the Kings started to as the Kings got off to that hot start, Kings fans were so loud. And then the game got really, 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 really competitive. And it was one of the coolest atmospheres for two teams that stunk.
Yeah.
that I can remember.
And whatever Kings fans would have done there, I'm sure they would have appreciated that moment of him walking. Like, we didn't get
because he went out early
because, oh, he'll come back in. He's
right.
taking a breather. And I think he was, like, even iced his shoulder. There was something, and then it was like, well, now he's cold. It took too long, and they let the other guys play.
As the players, yeah, and he had done this a few times before, but as the, you know, as you said, as the young guys got them back, you could see him go from warm-ups, you know, and just being on the bench to, okay, now his shoes are off. Now he's getting iced up. He's not coming back. And we got robbed of that moment, and
right.
it sucked because I thought that again, there were a ton of Laker fans there that night. I thought the Sacramento crowd would have gone nuts for him in that one singular moment, knowing they're never going to deal with him again.
Yeah, they did that. I know they did a great ovation years ago for Malone and Stockton when their final game, or Stockton's final game. Mm-hmm. It's a playoff game here, but Malone too, when he went and played for the Lakers after that. But Kings fans are usually pretty good about that.
Well, and I'll go back to yesterday. I know entirely different circumstances than Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers and Sacramento Kings and all that, but the remaining fans in Toronto.
Yeah, for Vince.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
Cool. That was absolutely incredible. And, you know, Dave Yeager knew it, and he was, you know, God bless him, smart enough to make that call right there to get Vince Carter out, and it awesome.
Yeah, apparently great moment. Did, like, a nice video tribute for him about 3 years ago because they thought, well, this is probably it. And,
no.
You know, Vince still may play one more even.
Hey, put the video tribute out there every year.
Why not?
Put it out there every single year. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, the Knicks. The New York Knicks are the linear champions of the National Basketball Association.
Took it from the Thunder, right? After the Thunder took it from...
We were
hoping the Thunder would lose it to the Sixers. Yeah. Didn't.
That was not pretty. That game in New York was not... That was like, wow.
Yeah.
The Knicks, on Melo's return to the Garden, without the unicorn... Michael Beasley.
Did he go for 30?
That Michael Beasley dominated the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
But it's the Knicks and the Hornets in Charlotte tonight for the Linear Championship.
Keep your eye on it.
So we'll keep an eye on that and try to figure out a way that the Kings can get it. We'll get you ready for the Kings and Sixers tomorrow. We got Monday Night Football coming up in about 2 hours or so. The Falcons at the Bucks. Lots of playoff implications there, not just for the Falcons, also for the Seahawks. Also for the Dallas Cowboys, we'll recap all of that. We will be with you at noon tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today.